Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you. Welcome into another day here on the program. The last day of the week for me and hopefully the last day of the work week for you. Last day, work day of the month for me and hopefully the same for you as well, because by the time you and I convene again next week, it'll be July. June just flew right by and I want to say we're kind of right on target for what we would expect this summer, right? But maybe a little bit warmer than we might have thought, but it hasn't been bad. But let's see what July and August bring our way. We've already had one heat dome stretch of a couple of days. So what else is coming down the line? So, and just a reminder that next week we will be off for Independence Day on Thursday, but we will have local programming for you on Friday. I'll be here. Chris will be here. Barry's taking the day off, but Brian Thomas will be filling in for him. Just in case you were wondering what the holiday schedule was for WBSM. And I guess we can start off this morning by talking about what happened last night and say, what the heck was that? I don't think anybody's better off. I mean, maybe you can say Donald Trump is, but there are those who would argue that even he didn't really win any points last night. But I don't think anybody's better off after what happened last night. Joe Biden just went out and laid a giant egg. And I think, I guess, I can agree with the points that a lot of the pundits were making where when they talked about the issues, Joe Biden won on the issues. But that's not what people are walking away from this from. People already knew where both candidates stood on the issues. People were looking for that, just that guttural feel of which person, which senior citizen you felt was better for the job. And certainly, Joe Biden didn't only not win over anybody that wasn't sure if it was him. I think he had people who were in his corner who said, oh, we got to do something about this. And that's what all the pundits were reporting afterward. I was watching the CNN debate panel afterward just for a little bit because then I had to go to bed. But John King was saying that his phone was blowing up during the debate with prominent Democrat leaders, senior Democrat officials, saying, we've got to do something about this. So all of the, you know, I think some of the conspiracy theories or some of the whacked out theories that people had about, oh, well, you know, he's going to have some sort of episode in the middle of it. And then that's going to allow them to replace him, and then they're going to blame Trump. Well, I mean, I guess you were kind of right. Because right off the bat, one of the early questions, when he said, we beat Medicare, And things just went downhill from there for a few moments. I mean, I think Biden did come back a bit. But he didn't help himself by coming out with low energy, kind of a raspy voice. Now, the White House said halfway through the debate, they were sending out text messages to people and saying, hey, just so you know, Joe has a cold. Okay. Well, also, you've been doing debate prep for over a week. You didn't feel like you should say ahead of time he has a cold to warn people that if he does come out a little raspy sounding, hey, just a heads up, the president has a cold, so his voice does sound a little bit raspy. I think that was trying to spin it, trying to do some damage control, and it was kind of lame damage control. But, I mean, not that he might certainly have a cold, but I think trying to use that as the reason why he was floundering was not good. I think that the format didn't really help either candidate. I think they were kind of thrown off compared to how it was when they debated last time. I'm sure on paper it sounded better. But I honestly feel like both candidates were trying too hard to squeeze too much in the time that they were allotted. So on both counts, for both candidates, it just felt a little bit like they were rushing to squeeze too much info. And then you would have the situation where they would finish what they were saying and they still had time left. And you say, I'm sure they were saying in their head, well, then if I had known that, or if I had been paying attention to the clock, because they've got a clock they can both see. If I had been focused on the clock and focused on the time, I could have relaxed that point and made it a little bit more coherently. So I think the format had some challenges for the candidates. I think, and again, this is no knock on either of them, but I think if you had two people that were new to this format, new to a presidential debate, two candidates who had never done this before at the presidential level, they would have handled the setup better. I think it's because this was not what either one of them was used to, especially going against each other, that they felt kind of constrained a little bit. I mean, also, the whole idea of, well, we'll ask you a follow-up question, and then you can speak on the follow-up question, was kind of dumb because they never answered the follow-up question. It was always just another rebuttal. And I think, you know, Biden might have done it a few times. Trump didn't do it at all. Or if he did, he said, well, I'm going to address that. Hold on. This will relate to that. And then goes on to something that only tangentially relates to it. So I think that the format kind of threw things off a little bit, but there's no doubt about it. It was a horrible performance by Joe Biden at a time when he knew that he had to come out and do a better job. They had asked for this debate. They had prepared for this debate. And I've got to think that that's not the Joe Biden that they were seeing in the preparations, or else somebody would have put out a red flag even before it began. But instead, I think what happened was it happened in the moment. And you can decide if that's more or less concerning for you. So I don't know, as I was saying yesterday, I don't think there's anybody, I don't believe that there's anybody that's as, that there aren't, let me rephrase that. I don't believe there are as many undecided people as the cable news networks will make you think. They need you to think that there's undecided people so that you keep tuning into their coverage and so that they can justify why they're spending so much time on something that is already a foregone conclusion to most of the people that will go out and vote. Most of the people that will go out and vote already have their candidate decided. Maybe not now. if there is a change for the Democrats, and I'm going to just have to trust these seasoned political experts who are offering their opinions on TV and who say, you know, it's not too late to pivot. I'm going to just trust what they're saying. I know that calendar-wise, it's not too late to pivot. I know that there have been plenty of presidential elections over history where the candidate was selected at the convention or, you know, finalized at the convention. And these folks who are commenting, well, some of them, I shouldn't say all of them. Sometimes I don't realize I'm as old as I am. I'm certainly older than Alyssa Farah Griffin. I don't know if I'm older than Van Jones. I may be. But, you know, I look at it as most of these folks have seen more presidential campaigns than I have. And certainly they've studied more than I have. So if they're saying it's not too late, I'll believe them that it is, but it feels like in my gut like it is. Unless you have some sort of superstar candidate, I don't think that, like, if you could trot out the next Barack Obama right now, somebody who captivated people like he did, then maybe I'd say it's not too late. But I feel like if you had that person, you would have already brought them to the forefront months ago. And also, as pointed out by many pundits, Joe Biden is a stubborn man. Jill Biden is a stubborn woman. That neither one of them are going to want him to step away. So, if this is what we're stuck with, it's what we're stuck with. Do they have another debate in them? I think, believe it or not, I think the Biden camp would want another one. Because I think if they asked for another one, even if they said, let's schedule another one for September or October, that would signal to people that, you know, they're serious to stay in this and that they expect that there'll still be a strong chance at that time. But if you're the Trump camp, then you say, well, why do we have to do it again? It would be unfair to do it again after what happened in the first one. I would feel bad having to debate Joe Biden a second time after what happened. So I don't know what's the right answer in that regard. Should there be another one? Should there not be another one? Does it benefit anybody to have another one? I do have a feeling, I do have a sense that if Joe Biden bangs that drum enough, that Donald Trump will answer the call because he's not going to step down from a challenge. But does the Biden team want that? I was kind of disappointed that Jake Tapper was the moderator of this debate, only because I would have appreciated his take afterwards. You know, Anderson Cooper did a good job of just stepping back and letting everybody else say what they wanted to say. But I was just like, oh, man, I can only imagine what Tapper has to say about this. But even the Democrats on the panel were talking about how bad it was. They were the ones talking about how they were getting text messages and emails from people saying, what are we going to do about this? There was some discussion that maybe the reaction from the public isn't going to be what the reaction was from the panel, that maybe all of the people who were going to vote for Biden anyway already assume that this is what they were getting. And they'd still rather have that than the alternative. So after the initial round of oh my gods from all the commentators, then the discussion kind of turned to, well, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what the voters have to say about it. And you can say all you want if people are like, oh, no, that was terrible. Like, if you go out and poll, if you went out and polled, you know, 1,000 Democrats and said, who won that debate? And 90% of them said Donald Trump. That doesn't mean that 90% of those Democrats are going to go out and vote for Donald Trump. So even looking at the reaction to it might not be an accurate assessment. And also, we're like 4 months away. And a lot can happen in those 4 months. Things could go better. Things could get worse. But I was going through this morning, you know, one of the fact check articles. And there was a need to fact check a lot of both what both candidates said, which is not uncommon in a debate. I don't get too worked up about fact checking in a debate, because the idea is to be bombastic and to be combative and to go back and forth. Yes, I'd like your facts and figures to be correct, but also they didn't allow them to bring in notes. So they had to memorize those facts and figures. And listen, I can't get numbers right all the time. And I'm half the age of these guys. So some of it I don't get too upset about, because it's spin, because it's sparring, because you've got a lot of information in your brain that you want to try to get into the course of the discussion. And you might be forcing some things into the discussion. But the fact check article that I saw was lengthy for both candidates. So I'll take your reactions, 508-996-0500. You can also send me app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I'm sure Chris and Barry will dive into it even deeper during the course of the day. But I don't think sentiment is going to change. I don't think you're going to go through the day and think back and say, you know what, now that I think about it. No, it was a disaster for Joe Biden. I wouldn't say that it was a huge victory for Donald Trump, except for you can claim huge victory because it was a disaster for Joe Biden. I thought Trump did a good job of being more cooperative, we'll say, in this debate. But I think it didn't help him that he was dodging certain questions. And in some cases, I think he was dodging because he didn't want to answer them. I do think that about things like the January 6th questions and you know, along those lines. The if you will deport people who have been here for years and who have a spouse who's a citizen and who have jobs, and you know, he dodged the you know, questions like those. But I think a lot of the times that he didn't answer the question, I would say is more just because he was addressing what was just said before. And I mean, I'd like you to answer the question that was asked, but I also don't think that was a dodge. That was just, I've got more to say on that, and that's more important to me than what your question was. Because some of those follow-up questions weren't great. Some of them, as a person watching this go back and forth, I'm saying, no, don't ask that. Let them continue on with what they're saying. So, like I said, you can call in with your take, but I think we've all pretty much got the same take on it. I don't think you're going to find anybody that's going to call in today and say, Joe Biden did fantastic last night. Again, I think he got better as the night went on, but he still had some stumbles and slips. And I don't know how true the idea is that they're looking, they may be looking to replace him now. But I think they've certainly got to have some conversations with him and say, we don't think you're as up to this as you think that you are. And how can we help you with that? Now, physically, or just in, you know, in terms of everyday life, getting around on your own, things like that, I don't worry about that with a president. FDR was one of our greatest presidents from a wheelchair. I don't worry about physical health, but I do worry about mental health. And I don't also equate 10:30 p.m. Joe Biden with 10:30 a.m. Joe Biden. Anybody who knows anything about folks as they get older, you know, the longer the day, I mean, it's the same thing happens to me. The longer the day, the less sense I make toward the end of the day. So I get that part of it. But I wanted to see a little bit more. I wanted to see the guy that was delivering the State of the Union, which was on a teleprompter, and which was completely rehearsed, as opposed to this where, you know, you don't know, you have a rough idea of what questions they're going to ask, but you don't know exactly the way it's going to be phrased, which you're now adjusting your planned answer on the fly based on the way the question is posed. And right from the first question that Biden was asked, I was like, nope, they're not going to ask questions. They're not going to answer questions that are asked to them. They're just going to use two or three keywords in that question to go off on their pre-planned discussion, which as a politician in a debate is how it usually goes. But I can tell you, like, as a talk show host, it's something that I personally can't stand. If I'm going to do an interview and I'm going to ask you a question, answer the question that I asked you. Don't give me a rehearsed answer. And I used to, on my overnight show, I would like cut people off that did that. I'm like, yeah, no, I get that. But answer my question. Anyway, I've got to take a break here. We will be back in just a few moments. Good. And it is time now to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt. On the other side, we will get your reaction, 508-996-0500. Already getting some app chats about the debate. We can get into that as well. But right now, let's turn things over to Phil.
Last night's presidential debate, did either candidate come out looking good? Uvalde law enforcement indicted for their role in a deadly shooting. And Elvis's blue suede shoes for sale.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The first presidential debate of 2024 was arguably unlike anything the nation has seen before. President Biden stumbled at times during the night on CNN, which reportedly is sparking concerns among Democrats over his age and ability to take on Donald Trump in November.
The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Meanwhile, Trump seemed to try and deflect his actions during the attack on the U.S. Capitol, ignored some questions, and dismissed accusations that he had an affair with adult film star Stormy Daniels. Both candidates hurled personal insults and accused each other of being the worst president in U.S. history. The debate even devolved into jabs over age and a challenge to a golf match. The U.S. Supreme Court is allowing doctors in Idaho to perform abortions during certain medical emergencies. The justices voted 6-3 on Thursday to reinstate a lower court order that blocked Idaho from enforcing a near-total abortion ban while it was being challenged in court. A pair of former Uvalde school law enforcement officers have been indicted over the response to the 2022 deadly school shooting there. Mark Mayfield reports.
The Uvalde Leader News reports that former Uvalde School Police Chief Pete Arredondo and former school police officer Adrian Gonzalez face several felony charges of abandoning and endangering a child. The shooting at Robb Elementary School left 19 children and two teachers dead. Arredondo reportedly turned himself into officials on Thursday. Earlier this year, the U.S. Department of Justice released a report that heavily criticized law enforcement's response to the shooting. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A decision on whether to dismiss an involuntary manslaughter charge against Alec Baldwin could come today. The award-winning actor is accused in the accidental 2021 shooting death of cinematographer Halina Hutchins on a movie set in New Mexico. He filed a fifth effort to have the charge dismissed on Monday, arguing that some of the evidence has been destroyed. Oklahoma's state school superintendent is requiring all public schools to have a Bible in every classroom from grades 5 through 12. On Thursday, Superintendent Ryan Walters announced teachers will also have to teach from the Bible and incorporate it as part of their curriculum. Walters claims it's in accordance with academic standards and state law. The ACLU is already suing to block a new Louisiana law that requires the Ten Commandments to be displayed in public schools and may do the same here. Walters says the Bible is a necessary historical document, and without it, Oklahoma students are unable to properly contextualize the foundation of our nation. The Department of Justice announcing health care fraud charges against almost 200 people. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
We will bring to justice criminals who defraud Americans and steal from taxpayer-funded programs.
The alleged false claims equal over $2.7 billion. The defendants were charged across the country and include 76 doctors, nurses, and other medical professionals.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. You get ready now, go get it.
And the famous blue suede shoes worn by Elvis Presley are up for auction. The iconic footwear hits the auction block today with a bidding starting at $70,000. British auction house Henry Aldridge & Son is handling the sale. The size 10.5 shoes were worn by Elvis on the Steve Allen Show in 1956. The shoes are expected to bring in about $150,000.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox start a three-game set against the San Diego Padres tonight at Fenway Park. First pitch at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Look for a spectacular day from start to finish today. Tons of sunshine, comfortable humidity, and a high temperature near 77. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy skies. It will still be comfortable as lows drop to near 57. And for Saturday, partly sunny skies with a high once again in the mid to upper 70s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
The impression that I get, and what is the impression that you got from the debate last night? Was anything different than what you expected? 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim.
How's it going?
Not bad. So, it didn't go too far off script of what I thought was going to happen, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is going to happen, well, potentially what I think is going to happen is you're actually going to see an RFK bump in the polls.
Yeah.
Because a lot of Biden supporters are going to go, we can't. And Biden, RFK is obviously significantly more liberal than Donald Trump. So it would only benefit RFK, right, with what a crap show that was last night for Biden. So I think RFK is going to get a significant bump in the polls. More people are going to pay attention to what he has to say, and hopefully – you see that, him a little bit more in the actual spotlight. Last night was an absolute horror show. And I heard actually a lot of people talking about an open convention. That's one thing that I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, my Twitter feed is pretty much like a lot of business-oriented marketing, finance guys, and very rarely do they ever speak about politics. And even like the ones that I kind of get the inkling that they give Biden the benefit of the doubt. We're saying, yeah, get this guy off the stage. He doesn't even belong there. He belongs away from politics, you know, right into the sunset. Don't malign your own name any longer. Because, you know, even with Trump, like the same thing, he looked obviously significantly more energetic. But I'm listening to him talk about inflation. I'm like, this guy's talking out of his rear end. He has no idea how inflation works. He exploded the national debt in 11 months and doesn't think that's going to affect inflation. You know, that, and his followers, his MAGA supporters, they eat it right up. They believe the same thing. They're like, oh, yeah, inflation just sporadically, magically appeared in 2 months of Biden's presidency. That's ridiculous.
And I'm going to caveat this by saying that Biden was much, much worse, but there were a lot of times where Donald Trump wasn't making any sense either. There was a lot of times where he was just spitting out words that didn't really relate to what was going on.
No, absolutely not. They both went way off the rails in two different directions. The fact that the Border Patrol actually sent out a tweet that said, we will never endorse Biden, because Biden ended up saying something like, oh, yeah, Border Patrol loves me and they endorse me. No, they actually said we will never, and they've never endorsed anybody on the Democratic ticket. They didn't endorse Obama. They didn't endorse Hillary Clinton. They didn't endorse anybody.
Right.
They've only endorsed Trump, Bush. You know, they've always endorsed the Republican. But the fact that they were like, oh, absolutely not. They had to fact check it. And they put that out, the union of Border Patrol agents. Well, yeah, it was so horrendous. We should be embarrassed as Americans that these two out of 350 million people, these are the two that we picked to actually run this country. It's an embarrassment for Americans that this is even happening. You know, I'm on the fence. I'm either going to write in Paul Ryan, the former Speaker of the House, or I'm voting for RFK. One of the two is going to happen.
I will make you a promise right now. This will be the last time that you have to vote for either Joe Biden or Donald Trump.
I'm not going to vote for either one. But it would be a service if both of them dropped out. And we literally just had a write-in campaign across this country. Because I think what's going to happen is Donald Trump's going to win. It's going to be a landslide victory like that of 1980. Maybe not Mondale, where Biden only wins one, but Biden will win a handful of states, and that's it. It's going to be a landslide victory for Trump, and not because Donald Trump is significantly more popular. It's because Gen Z, you know, your 20-year-olds are going to stay home. Nobody's excited about Biden, but everybody on Trump's side is going to be very excited, and they're actually going to come out in droves, and there's going to be Biden's people are going to stay home. So it's going to be easy for Trump to kind of walk through this entire campaign
and
win every state.
I would only disagree with that on for one reason. A lot of the people who are Biden people are just anti-Trump people and are still going to go out and vote for Joe Biden because they'd rather see him than Donald Trump. So I think the dislike of Donald Trump would keep it from being a landslide, whether he wins or not. I'm just saying, like, I just think that'd be the buffer. I got to just hold you there because I got another call here.
All right, Tim.
But you have a good day. And 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, Johnny One Note. How you doing?
This is, you're pretty good.
We also have caller ID.
Johnny One Note. Oh, okay. Does it come out as Johnny One Note?
spells it O-N-E instead of the number one.
N-O-E, okay. Hey, listen, I want to congratulate you, by the way, now that I got you on the phone. You look great.
Thank you.
I've seen recent pictures of you, and I can't believe it. You don't even look like the same person that I last saw the last time I was in the studio. You look great, and I'm glad to see you taking care of your health really good. It's very important, and I just can't believe how good you look.
Thank you, and it sounds like you're doing well, too.
I'm doing better. Yep, I'm doing better. I've been back to work for a year already now. And, you know, you never feel the same afterwards, something like that. But I am working, looking forward to retirement, hopefully in another year or so. But, yeah, I'm doing good. I can't complain. So, but You know, watching that debate last night really just gave me a cold slap in the face, man. I think we are just so screwed. I mean, I really, really, for the first time in my life, I seriously, really am worried about my country. You can write me down as, what was the term they used last night? A double hater? I think I heard them say. And, it's a cold slap in the face. We are really screwed. The last caller just before me kind of stole my thunder. He said it exactly the way I feel. And, but you know what scares me the most? Donald Trump becomes president again is, Putin, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Just turn back. Look at the Helsinki video. Go watch that again. And, tell me how much you think that Putin has got Donald Trump under his thumb. There's a video out there on YouTube I had come across. It's called Putin and the Presidents. If you ever get a chance, watch that. And it tells you all about Putin and how each president along the way has had to deal with Putin and, how Putin, man, I'm telling you, you watch the body language with Putin, with Donald Trump, and just watch the Helsinki video. Watch Putin, you know, he's laughing, he's smiling. It's like he's got Trump right under his thumb, you know?
Well, I thought it was telling that, they asked about the war in Ukraine, and Trump said, hey, listen, if I'm the president-elect after Election Day, I'm going to have this whole thing solved by the time I get sworn in. I'm going to have this whole thing over by the time I get sworn in. Yeah, but what he didn't say is it's going to end in a way that benefits both Ukraine and Russia. What's going to happen is you're going to have Russia just push forward harder because they know that the guy that's coming in isn't going to do anything to them.
Listen, he is the biggest BS artist I've ever seen him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Hold on. Let me put you back there. There you are. Sorry about that. You said he's the biggest BS artist. Sorry.
He is the biggest BS artist. That man, I am really scared to death for this country if he gets in again. I'm kind of beside myself this morning. It's all the whole debate. I, me. You know, I'm the best nobody's ever seen before. I'm so sick of that, man. I just had 4 years of that. The guy's a lunatic. You know, we got one guy who's a lunatic on one side, and we got the other guy who's one slip of a banana peel away from a nursing home. And like the last caller said, it's a shame. We should be embarrassed that out of a country of 350-some million people that we cannot get somebody better to step up and run this country.
All right.
And that really bothers me.
Well, thank you for the call. Hey, try to put it out of your mind today and enjoy the beautiful day and enjoy the beautiful weather that you'll have out there working today. I know you'll soak up every moment of it. Oh, even better.
My day off today. Even better. Yep.
All right.
Have a good one, Tim.
Enjoy
that. See you around, buddy.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
All right. Callers, I do see you on hold, but I do got to take a quick break. Let me do that, and we'll be right back. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just want to let you know, I'm one of those 70 million people that Joe Biden refers to as, a threat to democracy. I don't know how to put this, but I look at it this way here. The one thing that I saw that came out of that debate, aside from the obvious, Joe Biden's, pretty much he just, I was texting back and forth with somebody, we're watching the murder of Biden. I said, no, it's not a murder of Biden. It's the suicide. He pretty much was killing himself in that.
Yeah. And he asked for it. He was the one that asked for the debate. So
exactly. He did. I mean, they set that up. They asked for all the parameters and so forth and so on. But what I took out of that and by some of the text messages that I got and some of the information that I got from people that what they took out of that, nobody, and I'm talking, when I say nobody, I'm referring to the people who are Biden supporters or Trump haters. And that's very big in this. Trump, because most people who voted for Trump, voted for Biden, they are specifically Trump haters. They just hate Trump, plain and simple. The thing is, they're uninformed, and I'm going to say it this way here, because they said that the messages that I got were, they was, I cannot believe how bad Biden is. I can't believe the condition he's in. I can't believe everything. All the words I got was, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't. Now, what I am now, as I said, I identified myself how who I am. But I what I do, I don't watch CNN. I haven't. I don't even watch Fox News. I watch conservative news. I'm guilty of that. Yes, I am. So I'm being fed biased information. I understand that they harp on that type of information, just as the CNNs and the MSNBCs do for the left side. They harp on the stuff that they want to feed to their audience. I'm guilty of the same as the other side, but somewhere in between, and the information that comes out on the right side, there's more information that comes out, is what I'm trying to get at. The left is not getting all the information. We've been seeing this side of Joe Biden for a long, long time. The left has not.
Well, yeah, I think if you're somebody who says, well, I don't watch any news, like I go right to the White House, you know, YouTube feed, and I watch, you know, C-SPAN, I go right to these things, and that's where I get it from, so I don't get any spin at all. Even if you do that, though, I'm sure that this has been so tightly managed that you're not seeing this side of him in those scenarios too. So it's, you know, it's more the management of how they got the messaging out that's limiting what people have been seeing.
Bingo, bingo, bingo. You use the word management, and how is it being managed specifically by the White House? So you took me to my next subject, which is in the same realm here. It's the media and who's managing it. In my opinion, the media is being managed by I just believe that the media is the problem in this country, and that if you have control of the media, you have control of the population. That's my opinion. And that's what I'm trying to say, because I can only throw out arbitrary numbers. Say 75 to 80% of the country watches only mainstream media, then 75 to 80% of the country is only going to see what mainstream media feeds them. If you want to delve out into other forms of media, you're going to get a little bit more information. And now you say, if you want to go to these news sources for directly from the White House, if they're the ones controlling the news media, then that's what you're going to get. Have you ever listened to
Karine Jean-Pierre? Yeah.
Have you ever listened to her? My gosh, you want to talk about spin.
But that's what everybody in that position does. The same thing happened in the Trump administration.
Oh, I get it. No, but again, when you're in control of the White House, you're in control of the media, in my opinion. Maybe not so. I just believe that the problem in this country is bigger than the Democrat and the Republicans. I believe that it's a much, much bigger and deeper problem. And I honestly think that Donald Trump is the answer to that problem. And he was trying to root out where the problem lies. It's a deep, deep problem. And there's a lot of corruption that runs very, very deep. And he called it the swamp. And a lot of people didn't agree with that. And he's a very coarse, he's an unlikable person. I get it. But I don't care that he's an unlikable person. You know, he redeemed himself as far as, you know, what some people were talking about. Oh, yeah, he did run up trillions of dollars in debt. But he tried to explain a little bit as to why and how and some of the ramifications and reasons why he did. And I think he gave a little bit of an answer as much as he could in the short time. One thing that bothered me, and I will say, and I don't want to talk too much about a little bit about...
Like about 30 seconds left, just so you know.
Okay, I'm going to just say this real quick. It bothered me that he couldn't answer the questions. He had to keep going back, you know. It seemed like he avoided some questions, but I think that was more like he just had to keep going back on a retort.
Yeah,
but listen,
I agree.
I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to get out of this, Tim. Thanks for letting me just put my opinion out there.
Thank you for the call. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
And I see, Sketty, we got you on hold, but I've got to take this break. We will be right back. All right, let's go back to the phones. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. I got Biden's voice. But it's not from practicing the speech the whole week. I'm a cold no. That was just from him constantly practicing. Absolutely. But he does kind of have a raspy voice anyway. But so what I got from the whole thing, when Biden, no, I'll start with Trump.
Well, I only got about a minute and a half, just so you know.
Oh, jeez Louise. Biden was all right. He looked like a zombie every time he was listening to Donald Trump's answers. If you go back and look at him, he just really looked like a zombie. Trump was doing fine until he said he's going to take retribution when he gets back in the White House on everybody that went after him. And I'm like, all right, that's the end of that. He's the same old, he hasn't learned anything. Why are you putting that out there? You're going to take retribution. And Kamala Harris, she spoke with CNN and she said that she absolutely admitted the fact that Biden was slowed to the start. And yeah, that's not good when the VP says that even he was slowed to the start. And also, it was good hearing Johnny Wendell's voice.
Yeah.
And I like his input.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.